So I started talking to you about the purpose-driven church, not the purpose-driven church, but the presence-driven church, and yes. To go with that, a presence-driven life. And there are a lot of paradigms that modern churches follow, like focusing on personality or programs or even church purposes, which scripturally, that's perfectly in order. But there's a higher way to direct your affairs as a ministry and as your life. That is the presence of God.
Amen.
Nothing's better can have an amen.
Amen.
And we see in Moses in Exodus chapter 33 how much he valued the presence of God. He's like, you know, I don't want to go up, and your people don't need to go up unless your presence goes with us. And aren't you glad that God promised him his presence?
Yes.
And he also sought his glory. He would see his glory, his manifested presence and power and goodness. And that's the way we need to be. You and I have something, though, that Moses never had. We've experienced the new birth. And so what happened was God no longer dwells in a cloud or a pillar of fire. He no longer dwells on a gold box. Amen. He's not in a tabernacle. He's not in a building. Where does he dwell? In you. So this begs the question, if he's on the inside of us, then how come so often we can't really discern his presence in a manifested form? And that's the whole point of these teachings, is to understand this, that you and I, despite that reality, that sometimes we sense his presence and sometimes we don't, sometimes it seems like it's manifesting and sometimes it doesn't, but aren't you glad that the glory of God is available?
Yes.
Say it with me, the glory of God,
glory of God is
his manifested presence,
power,
and goodness. In other words, when he shows up, something amazing is going to happen. And so he doesn't live on top of a box. He lives where? On the inside of you. You individually, collectively, as the body of Christ, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, unlike the saints of old where God would come on them and he would come off of them and he would come on them and off of them, God came on you, upon you, and in you, and he hasn't left. That's Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
But how many of you know sometimes what the Bible teaches and our personal experience are not the same thing?
Yeah.
So we have to explore and understand why that might be the case. But remember this, God told Joshua, you know what, I'm with you always, wherever you go. In Psalm 139, the Bible promises in verse 7 and 8, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. A whole series of scriptures reminds us that he is with us. Never will he leave us. Never will he forsake us. Aren't you glad that's true?
Yes.
Well, that's got to go from mental assent and agreement to something that you experience in your lives, because unless we are enjoying his presence in real time every day, we're not living our best.
Amen. That's right.
Your best is not God over here compartmentalized, but you every day having a greater awareness or consciousness of God. And that is the issue when it comes to his presence. He said that he would be our God, we would be his people, and he himself will be their God, and he will dwell among them, according to Revelation. Now notice that he is present, you know, biblically we know that's true. You've heard a phrase called omnipresence. What does that mean? God is everywhere present. Well, if that's the case, if God is actually manifested that way, then we should have a heightened awareness or consciousness of that presence. So when we are doing things, and we'll talk about some of them tonight, and it seems like his presence rolls in. Have you ever experienced where you're worshiping God, you're having a great time with him, and you can sense a greater manifestation of his presence? He did not roll in. What happened was you became more conscious of the presence that's already there. Scripture thinks about this, shares this in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, right?
Yeah.
There's a sensory deficit because there's a veil over their eyes. In other words, there are things they can't sense. There are things they can't see. There are things they can't hear. And there are reasons why our awareness or our consciousness of his presence is dulled down or not where it needs to be. Now, if he's promised his presence, how many you believe the word of God is true,
yes,
then you can what? Enjoy his presence.
Yes, amen.
But if we're not careful, we slip into this idea that we're going to pray the glory down. We're going to seek God and he's going to manifest. He's already here. The problem is not God showing up. The problem is our consciousness of his presence. That's a whole different way of thinking.
Yes.
That is a significant paradigm shift for Spirit-filled believers who have been taught to pray the glory down, to bombard the gates of heaven with prayer, and maybe he'll manifest in our presence. He's here. Whether you feel him or not, he is here, because the authority of Scripture rules what we believe about what he does and what he doesn't do, and his word is plain. I can give you another dozen, two dozen, three dozen scriptures where he promises his presence. So what's up? Look at somebody and smile and say, what's up with that? And what's up with that is you and I have dulled our awareness. We have dulled our consciousness. But good news is there are things that can help us, what? Sharpen that consciousness. How many like to just live in the fullness and bathe in the fullness of his presence every day? There is nothing scripturally wrong with believing that and asking that, and there's no reason it can't be. But it's going to require some understanding, some revelation. It's going to require some discipline. We love that word. Discipline. Come on, say it, confess it. I love that word. According to Exodus 33, amazing things happen when the presence of God is manifesting. There is rest for us. Could anybody here use a little more rest this year? I mean, real Bible rest where you labor to enter into that rest by faith. He talks about God's pleasure. Is there anything better than knowing that you have pleased God?
No.
Nothing. We know that faith pleases him.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that God was pleased with Moses. That's not a special, you know, department or specific, you know, place that nobody else can attain to. You and I can also enjoy the pleasure of God.
All right.
Nothing better than that. The Bible speaks of a distinction being made on God's people because of his presence. I mean, no, if we're carrying his presence, there should be a distinction about us.
Yes.
We should be different
yes.
from everybody else. Does that make sense? And we are different from everybody else. We are peculiar. Can I have an amen? If you're born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, word of faith person, you are different by definition. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a source of arrogance. It's just a reality. God has invested much in you. And to whom much is given? Much is required. And it speaks of his goodness. His goodness will pass by. I get tickled to people that somehow present God as this ogre, you know, can't wait to beat you into the next county when you step out of line. But everything I read is about his manifestation of his goodness. In fact, that's what God calls himself. God, in Exodus 33, equates his presence and his glory with goodness. When he shows up, it's nothing but goodness. God has nothing but goodness in mind for you. Amen? Is there anybody here that would love to see more of the goodness manifest? More of his power manifest? Amen? More of his presence manifest? Again, it's all there.
Amen.
Let's just be honest about it. I'm not always as conscious of it as I should be. I'm not always as aware of it. And because of that, there's limitation in our lives. God's glory, of course, is his manifest presence, power, and goodness. And walking in the presence of God as a church is not secondary. It has to be primary. And that's what we mean by being a presence-driven church, where everybody comes in and says, you know what? I'm going to be more aware of God's presence. I'm going to be more conscious of his presence, not just in my personal life, but when we come together. Maybe you've had the occasion to go to a meeting like Brownsville when it was so big in 1995. Maybe you've had the occasion of going to a Benny Hinn crusade or something like that, where everybody comes there with a great value for the presence and power of God. You know what happens? Amazing things happen. They didn't cause God to show up. They all came with him.
Yeah.
And consciousness was raised. And when consciousness and awareness was raised, great things happened. I was at Brownsville. I can tell you it was the real deal. Massive, massive move of God. But you have people showing up at 6 o'clock in the morning to stand in line to do what? A praise service. You know, the evangelist would only speak for 12 to 15 minutes. That's a miracle in itself. And the Spirit of God would begin to move. Everybody there was conscious of his presence and aware of his presence and longing for more. No wonder great things happen. See, we have been trained, if we'll all come together and praise long enough, then maybe God will show up. You're missing the point. You could have brought that awareness and consciousness with you.
All right.
It could have been there from the first note.
Amen.
It's just that you and I have to just wade through the garbage to a place of consciousness and awareness, and that's when you see great things begin to happen. Anybody here have an appetite for more of God, not less of God? Well, there are some things that cause us to lose that consciousness, and I just want to point those out to you first. And before I do, just some scriptures for you. Acts chapter 3, 19 and 20. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed to you. You know, whenever you are in his presence, in this great awareness of his presence, there's always going to be a refreshing. And God's people need to be refreshed, not just once in a blue moon, but consistently, repeatedly in terms of their lives. In Psalm 24, 3 and 4, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Do what? Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Does anyone here believe the blood has been shed?
Yes.
Anybody here believe a new and living way has been opened up?
Yes.
And does not Scripture tell us that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us? In other words, the promise of his presence is there. So what is the deal? The deal is diminished consciousness. You know, it's like I said on Sunday and last Wednesday, the servant of the prophet couldn't see the chariots of fire. But guess what? They were there. He had a consciousness issue, an awareness issue. It's the same thing when people have mind-blinding spirits operating against them. And I'll just tell you this. It's not just people that are in the world and lost that have mind-blinding spirits operating against them. A lot of Christians have these things because there are doors that are open or whatsoever. And all of a sudden you find somebody who's doing just great. And then all of a sudden it's like a switch is flipped. And all of a sudden you don't know that person. They're a stranger to you in terms of their behavior and their attitude, their values, even their belief system on a dime switching like that. You need to know that you're dealing with a mind-blinding spirit. And the more blinded we are in different areas, whether it's to truth, to scripture, to revelation, to what he's trying to do, our awareness and our consciousness is diminished. It's a lifestyle God never wanted us to have. In the garden, God was very present with them. Until what came in? Until sin came in. That was just their lifestyle. They didn't know anything else but fellowshipping with God. But watch this. When they sinned, did God hide from them or did they hide from God? Did God run from them or did they run from God? What does the story in Luke 15 tell us about the prodigal? Is God looking to bash the prodigal in the head? Is he out there ignoring him, forgetting about him, or is he out there on that road looking for him? God is not the problem. It is consciousness. It is awareness. So what does a prodigal do after he spent all of his money and riotous living and he's sitting there feeding the pigs and he longs to eat the pods that the pigs are eating, but he has nothing to eat, and he what? Comes to his senses. What I'm saying to you is there are certain things that if we expose ourselves to those consistently, we will come to our senses repeatedly. An awareness will come. A consciousness will come. And you and I will benefit from that presence like we never had before. Before we get into that, just write these down. Of course, number one, sin is an obvious consciousness breaker. Not things God's not spoken to you about, but sin will break and diminish your awareness. In other words, he's not the one that runs from you. Amen? Anybody here perfect yet? Can I have your autograph? And sign my Bible if you would and let me know you're here. You can't deal with something you're not aware of, but as you read the Word of God and God speaks to you or the Spirit of God's been dealing with you, I've said this before, I say it a lot to the staff here, that we really don't have a hearing problem, we have an obedience problem. Most of us hear God very plainly on things we're told to stop doing.
Yes, that's true.
I have a better amen than that.
Amen.
And, if you can continue to resist, what's going to happen is your awareness, your sensitivity of heart, so to speak, your consciousness will be diminished. So you don't want to do that, especially in the great year of change. Amen. Right. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you knew what I knew, then you'd be excited, because as we embrace the change, God has amazing things for us.
All right.
I said amazing things for us. But we have to be in position for it. Glory to God. Wrong priorities is a consciousness breaker. You're going to have to look at what you're doing and do something different than you did last year. If you were on track last year, well, by all means, stay on track with your priorities. A lot of Christians have priorities that are totally out of whack. Well, I'd love to have the presence of God. You know, if we can just pray long enough and do this long enough, then maybe God will show up. God's showing up in the issue. Our awareness and consciousness being sensitized, that is the issue. Number three, it shouldn't be a surprise to you that bitterness is a consciousness breaker. You are not going to walk in unforgiveness and bitterness and enjoy the fullness of His presence, because you're going to be dead to His presence that way. And all I can tell you is that you got to watch out for this, because a bitter root springs up and does what? Defiles men. And it's one thing for you to lose your consciousness of His presence. It's another thing for you to share that garbage with somebody else and pull them into a place where they lose their sensitivity. You know, if we really love people, we would not let them draw us into their bitterness. We would lovingly rebuke them for what they're doing, because they're shutting themselves down to His presence, to His glory, and they're trying to suck us into this. We have got to be more aware than that as children of God. Can I have an amen? You just look at that person with love and say, understand you're hurt, understand you're disappointed, but the methodology for your healing and your release is to forgive. That said, I'm not entering into this with you. I want God's conscious. I want a God in me conscious. I want His presence real and alive, and I don't have time to enjoy your little bitter thing. It springs up and defiles what?
Many.
Look at somebody and say, I don't want it. I'm not going to have it. In other words, you get to the point where you decide, I'd rather have His presence and His anointing and His power and His goodness than to have the favor of that person who's trying to suck me into this. And some of y'all need to do that. You need to value friendship with God over the one that's trying to suck you into that nonsense. And sometimes you just have to be that bold about it. Amen. Glory to God. You can have your unforgiveness and grudge if you want to, but you're not going to have the glory of God and the grudge. Number four, carnality is a consciousness breaker. Living a flesh rule life. There's an inverse relationship here. The more fleshly you are, the less conscious you're going to be of God's presence. The more conscious you are of God's presence, the less fleshly you're going to be. This is where the discipline comes in. Paul said, I wish somebody would come and beat my body in subjection. What did he say? I beat my body in its subjection. And to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is what?
Death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. One is going to, of course, raise a consciousness of the presence of God. The other one is going to diminish that. It literally means in the Greek to be meat-headed. Archie Bunker did not come up with that. Most of us are old enough to know who Archie Bunker is. So if you don't, look it up on YouTube. Amen. That's what he called his son-in-law all the time. Meathead. That's what it means. You're meat-headed. You're conscious, you know, not of God. You're conscious of what the meat wants, what the flesh wants, what it's doing. And that's how we diminish our own consciousness. Number five is idolatry. That'll break your consciousness. Idolatry is anything you would put before the Lord. Relationships, money, you know, fame, some kind of an agenda, some kind of a goal. You know, it doesn't have to be a little golden idol that sits on a shelf somewhere. Americans have different kinds of idols than the people maybe in India, but we have idols nonetheless. And as you worship that with your time and your effort and your conscious thinking, it's going to diminish your consciousness of God. You can't have both. And the Old Testament prophets were pretty brutal in their language about what to do with an idol. You know, Isaiah and other authors would joke about this, but these folks would take a log, and out of half of it, they build an idol to it. They with a mouth and ears and lips. They can't speak, they can't hear, they can't talk. And they'd set that up and worship that. And with the other half of the log, they'd throw it in the fire and warn themselves. That's how potent and powerful their God is. And that's how potent and powerful your idol is. But it certainly isn't worth the presence of God. Can it have an amen?
No. Amen.
Being an emotion-ruled Christian, emotion-ruled living will diminish your consciousness. Every little emotional fit you give yourself permission to do is pulling you away from the presence of God. Every single time. So give in to that anger. Go ahead and express yourself. And I'm not talking about letting people walk on you or somehow you can't speak up for what is true. You got to be bold in this life. Well, I mean, but when you have a, you know that your emotions are going a certain direction. And how many understand that nobody makes us react a certain way? That's a cop-out. Well, I just say they upset me and I just had to let them have it. No. Somewhere along the line is, as a child of God, especially who's born again, spirit-filled, you have the ability to say, no, I am not going to manifest that way because the things of God are too important for me. You know, so it could be in terms of sorrow. It could be in terms of anger. You know, how sad is it to be a Uzziah where God prospered everything that king did? Sat at the feet of Zechariah, trained up to be a man of God, operated probably also in the prophetic, but he was never called to be priest. And he's in the the temple one day, and he's offering incense, and he's rebuked by the chief priests and a gaggle of other priests. And instead of listening, you guys are absolutely right. I have no business being in here. I got a David complex. He was prophet, priest, and king, and I want to be like that, but I'm not. I'm just what? King. Amen. And he was raging at them. What happened to him? Wham. Be careful with that kind of a thing. Your fleshly fit will actually push you away from consciousness of the presence of God. Yeah, but I was sorry. It doesn't make any difference. And if you have a habit of being like that, you've got a lot of work to do this year. See, if we're not careful, we look externally for the reason that we're not as blessed as we could be. But all you got to do is just look in the mirror and realize that subtly or not. And you know, you don't have to be a screamer to be emotion ruled. You can be a silently emotionally ruled Christian. Your screams are silent. Your meditation is, you know, on the wrong path. Look at somebody and tell them, don't be emotion ruled. Busyness is also a consciousness breaker. I mean, talk about idols. Well, I'm busy. And then some kind of a mark of grandeur or accomplishment. No, it's not. It just means you're kind of undisciplined and you're unfocused. Yes, amen? Amen. Business. Number 8, familiarity or the spirit of familiarity. It's Jesus in his hometown, you know. I was telling this, you know, to Barb earlier after staff prayer this morning that, you know, Jesus, when he said a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown among his own relatives, his own people, that was not a statement of biblical fact. That was an indictment. If the Son of God shows up, how many know you should be able to what? Have a consciousness of his presence. These folks had no consciousness that God was standing in front of them. Amen? When, you know, go a little bit further with this, you remember we talked about this was born, how they undid that thatch roof, the four friends, and lowered that man down to be with Jesus. The Bible talked about the power of God was present. Yeah. Say that way, the power of God, was present. Another example of how it's present whether you deduce that or not, whether you discern that or not. And Jesus said what to him? Son, your sins are forgiven. And immediately they begin to grumble and say what? Now we're talking about some Pharisees, some old folk, who no doubt had some physical malady in their body. Needed what Jesus had. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. So what does Jesus do? Operating in the spirit with the words of knowledge and a word of wisdom in his next statement, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. What does he say to the man? Get your bed and walk. Now what's sad is that man received it. Those friends had a consciousness there's something good going on here. The disciples, you know, knew there was something good going on. But all those old folk Pharisees who probably needed healing just as bad had what? No consciousness, no awareness that the presence and the power and the goodness of God were in the middle of that room that day. God help us. How can we be so close to our answer and walk out the door without it? Are you here? Familiarity. That's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the carpenter's son. We know him. It is not a point of praise for a body to reject an anointing of somebody they're familiar with. It's actually a sad thing.
Yes, it is.
And it's an honor to a people to recognize an anointing among them. Amen. Even if you change their diapers in the nursery, can I have an amen?
Amen.
Because somebody changed Jesus' diapers.
Sure.
Somebody had to take care of him. Does that make sense? That's what I'm talking about. Consciousness. They didn't lose out because God's power wasn't there. They didn't lose out because God's presence wasn't there. They didn't lose out because God's glory, manifested goodness, wasn't there. It was there. They had no consciousness of his glory in that situation.
That's right.
It happens all the time. It could happen on a Sunday morning. Somebody can be having a wonderful God with, you know, time with God, and somebody just three seats away, just dead as a doornail. Why? One has a consciousness, the other one does not. These are decisions we make. There's one kind of familiarity you don't want to have. Don't become familiar with the people of God, you know, that are around you ministering. You know, have enough respect to realize God's trying to use somebody and receive that. It's a gift of God. Say it with me. It's a gift of God. Now, I didn't say worship people. Put your eyes on men or women. Does that make sense? That's a total different thing. How many of those old Pharisees needed healing? Amen. Say it with me. They didn't get it because they weren't conscious of his presence or his power or his goodness. And that's not the only occasion of it. And Jesus is preaching on Luke 4, the anointing. I'm anointed to what? Preach and teach and open up blind eyes and release people that are bound and open up prison doors. He proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. And then he went in to illustrate the thing, told about a woman, you know, a non-Jewish woman and Naaman, and they were getting ready to do what? Kill him dead. So he had no consciousness. But could you imagine listening to Jesus preach on the anointing? We know that he didn't finish that sermon. They didn't let him. But could you imagine for just a moment how powerful that would be? Say it with me, familiarity will diminish my consciousness of the presence of God. And last is just religion or tradition. The Bible says that traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. They'll block you from receiving it. I've seen this so many times. Somebody will be raised in a certain denomination, and certain denominations are worse about rejecting things of the Spirit than others. You know, you're raised like me. We didn't hear anything about it. So there was nothing negative. There just was a vacuum there. I've often thought, thank God I had a vacuum because nobody was trying to tell me these things are gone. They don't exist. The baptism's not real. Tongues is not real. There just was a vacuum there, and I was hungry. And guess what? When I was hungry, God filled that vacuum up. But a lot of people are taught explicitly from the time they're kids, these things have passed away. It's hard for them to receive. And all they've been done is robbed. Amen. Of consciousness, of things that will make them more conscious. It shouldn't come to a surprise to you that spirit-filled life should make you more conscious and aware of God, not less.
That's it.
And if you're not, there's something really, really wrong.
That's right.
Amen. So let's talk about the things that you can do. How do you raise your consciousness? Why don't you just pray that I'll say, oh God, elevate my level of awareness and consciousness of your presence. Number one, raise your consciousness through seeking God. It shouldn't be a surprise to you. Oh, I'm going to seek God. He's going to show up. No, listen to me carefully. Follow the bouncing ball. You're going to seek God, and you're going to become more conscious of him. You're going to seek him. He's not suddenly showing up. You're becoming aware, conscious of that. I'm telling you, if you apply this to your life and you're on personal prayer time and you're seeking, you're going to have amazing times with him.
Amen.
I sure hope he shows up. And he's saying, I sure hope they wake up.
Yeah.
It is not a show up issue. It's a wake up issue. Look at somebody and smile and say, wake up, wakey, wakey, sleepyhead. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That implies that if I'm going after him with all of my heart, then my consciousness is going to be elevated here. Hallelujah. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8. Boy, there's a lot there to unpack.
Yes, it is.
Amen. But the bottom line is seeking God and responding to him. Then 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. And what happens is there becomes an awareness of consciousness. You and I are our flesh and bone. Amen. We are spirit beings living in a body. We have a mind that needs to be renewed, a will that needs to be submitted, and emotions put under the control and direction of the Holy Spirit. We have to do this actively so that we can have an awareness and a consciousness of his presence. Aren't you glad one day that's all going to be over? There won't be these limiting factors. Can you imagine this? A nonstop heavenly feast of his presence all day long.
Woo!
Millennium after millennium after millennium. But down here, you got a body. Amen. And most of us are more conscious of our body than his presence. Amen. We're conscious of our ungodly thoughts, you know, and worry thoughts than we are of his presence. More focused on reacting to somebody emotionally than we are enjoying the revelation of a awareness and consciousness of his presence. We have to be able to distill these things. And what happens is when you're seeking God, you know, the flesh and the mind and the will and the emotions are coming into alignment with the spirit that is on the inside of you. And your spirit, if left alone, would do nothing but enjoy the consciousness of the presence of God all day long.
That's right. That's right.
But you're not just a spirit being.
No, that's true.
Amen. Seeking God. Scriptures are just, Bible's filled with scriptures that pertain to this. But understand what happens with this. You see God tomorrow morning, he's not showing up. You're waking up.
Amen. That's good.
You come to church on Sunday, and all of a sudden, you know, God's manifested in a special way right then and there. He didn't come from heaven and join us for worship. He walked in the door with y'all.
That's it.
You're just being what? Made conscious and aware of that he is here. Glory to God. It shouldn't be a surprise to you, but you raise your consciousness through praise. Say it, praise. The traditional teaching is, and I understand it because I've always seen it that way myself, but how many of you know we're all a work in progress? If I'll praise him, he'll show up. No, if I'll praise him, I'll wake up. Come on, say it again. Wakey, wakey. Raise your consciousness with praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 102, Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O Lord, that inhabits the praises of what? Of Israel. He is already there. He's not the one with the problem. He doesn't have an identity issue. He doesn't have a mission issue. He's the same what yesterday, today, and forever. And whether you're conscious of his presence tomorrow or not, he's there. What a wasted opportunity that is for God to be on the inside of us. And we're not enjoying his presence, his power, or his goodness. We are being taught systematically to focus externally for God to come and do something, to show him do something. He is already here. Your consciousness is the issue, not the physical location of your God.
Amen.
Amen. The day you got born again, you had everything you needed.
Amen.
For victory in every area of your life. But living this life diminishes that consciousness, and we've got to be aware of that discipline to deal with it. So I praise him. In Acts 4, the apostles come back after being threatened, and they're praying, and they're praising God, you know, and they're asking God to stretch forth. I mean, what an amazing thing. Stop talking about that man. Don't preach in his name. We don't want to see any more of these miracles, no more signs. What do they do? They pray, God, stretch forth your healing hand and heal. And the Bible says the place was shaken. Did they have an awareness?
Yes.
Consciousness was raised because of that particular situation. Paul and Silas are in jail in Acts 16. What are they doing? Belly aching because they're serving God. How could God let this happen? No, they're praising God. Does that make sense? Say they're praising God and consciousness is raised. But watch this. If you'll be diligent, you can help raise the consciousness of those around you. Everybody got a dose of heavenly consciousness that day. Those bars were thrown open. Amen. And household salvation takes place. Amen. Great miracles take place because they were raising their own consciousness. We can seek Him and do that, and we can praise Him. So, you know, be the seed. Say it with me. I'll be the seed, at Hope Harbor Church. You're not going to praise God Sunday morning until He shows up. He was there when you came.
Yes.
What you're going to be is the seed that elevates the level of awareness and consciousness in this church.
Yes.
Yes, praise and worship leaders need to have a handle on this. But so does everybody else. And if we're on the same page, believing God for what? For all of us to have consciousness. Don't be surprised when it's elevated. Amen. Glory to God. He's not hiding from us. Amen. Say it one more time. Wakey, wakey.
Wakey, wakey.
Number three, you raise your consciousness through the Word of God. Every time that you're in the Word, every single time, it's an opportunity to come to yourself, to raise consciousness of His presence, His power, and His goodness. You want to read, you know, in a devotional way, but you want to be honorable when you're reading the Word of God, because that is God talking to you. Some of you think, well, God never talks to me. Every time you open the Bible, He's talking to you.
Amen.
And watch this. He's talking to you in a more trustworthy way than anything you can receive from your spirit thinking that it's God. And God does talk to us, doesn't He, church?
Yes, He does.
But nothing is more elevating authority than the Word of God in your life. So when you read some scripture where it talks about, you know, the thoughts of people and the words of people, Psalm 55, and it talks about their attitudes and their behavior, and it concludes by telling you to cast your cares upon the Lord, He's talking to you. He's giving you the answer. So if we allow it, the Word of God will raise our consciousness of His presence and His power and His goodness. Why? The Word of God and God are one.
Amen.
It's not God's over here and the Word's over there, you know, somehow a revelation of God, but it's not really the same. No, He and His Word are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning. In other words, the higher your view of the Word of God and respect and honor for it, the more your consciousness will be raised of His presence, His power, and His goodness. That's why it's so important. It's one of the reasons why the devil fights people reading the Word of God,
yeah,
spending time in the Word of God. When you are in the Word of God, you're fellowshipping with Him.
That's it.
And you don't have to read 15 chapters to do it.
That's right.
It'd be better for you to read a paragraph and actually get something out of it.
Right.
Hear the voice of God in the Word. What is that? That's the presence of God manifesting. When the Spirit is talking to you from the Word of God, He is in fact manifesting, which means your consciousness level, your awareness has been elevated in that situation. John 14:23, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
Yes.
Y'all believe that? If I do what? If anyone loves me, he will what? Keep my word. To know His word, to keep His word. One of the ways you diminish the consciousness of God is by disobeying His word. One of the ways you elevate your consciousness of God and His presence, His power, His goodness is by keeping the word of God that you have been taught, the things that you have known. And you and I have known a lot of things. There isn't a person in this room and I can claim ignorance. No, we know. But if we do it, then that awareness is heightened in our doing. John 1:14 again, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So when I seek Him, I wake up. When I praise Him, I wake up. When I'm in the Word of God, I wake up. I am not compelling Him to show up. These disciplines are compelling me to wake up. Consciousness, awareness of His presence. 4, it should not be a surprise to you that the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the prolific use of tongues will raise your consciousness of His presence, His power, and His goodness. If you read Romans 8 carefully, you will see that it is the Spirit of God that's doing what? Praying through you.
That's right. Yeah.
Praying through you. Watch this. The presence of God is praying through you.
Yes.
Not God over here, the Father, and the Holy Spirit over here. God is what?
Praying.
The presence of God is praying through you. And that's one of the reasons why if you'll pray in the Holy Ghost, and not just a little dab will do you religiously, or not just when you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, but use your prayer language prolifically, you will find out that an awareness is coming into your life of His presence, His power, and His goodness. In fact, I will say this, one of the most powerful ways and one of the quickest ways you can elevate your consciousness is to pray in the Holy Ghost. It really is your secret weapon. And why not? The presence of God is actually praying through you. How could it not elevate our consciousness? Now, if I'm the devil, I'm going to hate that.
Yep.
I'm going to do everything I can to discourage people from what? Being Spirit-filled. Tell them they've already got all the Holy Ghost there is. If I'm the devil, I am petrified if a bunch of believers have God's presence praying through them. No wonder it's God's perfect will. No wonder it lines up with everything that He says. It's God.
Yep.
Amen? We don't know how we should pray, but what? The Holy Spirit actually does the manifesting. Amen. Aren't you glad? Here's the bottom line. Yes, seek Him and your consciousness will increase. Praise Him and your consciousness will increase. Get into the Word and your consciousness will increase. Pray in the Holy Ghost and your consciousness will increase of His presence, power, and goodness. It's one of the reasons why I believe Smith and Wigglesworth taught people it's a critical part of being used of God. If you're praying in the Holy Ghost and then you go lay hands on somebody, you are conscious that it's not God out there somewhere. It's God here right now. And something's going to happen to you. That's why there's boldness and there's courage and there's faith, because there's a consciousness that God is with you.
Amen.
I mean, want God to use you to minister the baptism to other people. The same thing goes with it. Hand in hand, praying in the Holy Ghost boldly predisposes you to share these things with other people. Why? There's a consciousness. Not just a hoping and a praying somebody gets something. Amen. The God on the inside of you is real. We fight this battle every single day. The devil's trying to diminish that awareness, and God's trying to what? Elevate and raise that awareness for the Holy Ghost. Classical Pentecostals basically were taught, well, you pray in tongues when you get the baptism, and then if you get a goosebump or feel an unction, maybe you'll pray again. Now, then the charismatic movement came in, the Word of Faith movement came in to tell people, you can pray in the Holy Ghost anytime you want to inside the church in order. An exception to that is prayer meetings and believer services like this with Sunday morning. You should pray in the Holy Ghost the whole service. Just don't do it out loud.
That's it.
Unless you're prepared to interpret. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
What's that going to do?
Right.
Oh, you'll love this next point. Somebody says it's like a bumping log. I'm just not getting nothing out of the pastor's preaching today. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, you would what have your awareness and consciousness raised, and you would receive everything God has for you.
Right.
That Sunday school teacher, that preacher, that teacher. Well, the problem is God is on the inside of you. The teacher of the church is on the inside of you, and you're worried about somebody teaching you externally, from a pulpit. This is not the communicator that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Moore says it like this. You affect utterance as a listener.
Yeah.
The reason is that your level of awareness affects how much you can actually receive from Him.
That's right.
There's what the speaker is saying, and there's what the Holy Ghost is saying. And when you have an awareness about you, you are receiving life-changing revelation every time you walk into this building. You never have to leave the church without receiving a powerful revelation from God. And if you do, it's not a preacher issue. It's a what? Consciousness of God issue in your life.
Amen.
traditional people, religious people point to someone else as to why they're not receiving something from God. But the true teacher of the church is right here on the inside of you right now. That's why when somebody says something stupid, religious, you know, tradition, your spirit just goes, no, I don't think so. Come on, say it. No, I don't think so. You know, don't tell me what God doesn't do anymore.
That's right.
Amen. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles didn't say, well, God, go out and prove you're divine by stretching forth your hand. It's just what God does. Amen. And you know, when you've been in the Word of God in His presence, you can tell something. It's just man's thoughts. And there's a lot of Pharisaical stuff going on out there, church. Amen. Judgmental, condemning people. This group's wrong and that person's wrong and calling people out. Dear God, wait until they stand before God. God says, why were you picking on all my sons and daughters? You know, I don't believe I left the throne and put you in charge. You know, Brother Copeland received a word from God. One time God said to him, you know what's the biggest problem among my people? The biggest problem in the church? And he's like, Lord, I've heard a lot of versions of that. He says, your dogged determination to correct one another. He said, I'm the father, I'll do the correcting. Now, in a church structure, yes, the pastor needs to preach the word, and correction is part of that. But correcting people that aren't in your family, correcting people that aren't in your ministry, you have no authority over that ministry. But boy, give them a YouTube channel, amen. Give them a two Facebook page. I think I'm calling Bill Barker there, right? Two Facebook, and Mark Barker calls it fake book. Fake book and spew tube. That's what he calls it. No, stick to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. If you really care about somebody teaching something that you don't really like, then pray for that person.
That's right.
I mean, that's a smart thing to do. And it's up to those people who are in authority in that person's life to deal with it. It's not the entire body of Christ, you know, to make a show of what they think. But on the inside of you, you can walk out of here tonight with great revelation. Write this down. Your level of revelation is directly tied to your level of consciousness of God in you. Your revelation level is directly tied to your consciousness, your awareness level of His presence. You ever been talking to somebody and your mind just drifted? And then they've been speaking for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes? And you desperately want to know what they said. But you have no clue what they just said. That was not, a person wasn't talking. You dialed out. There's a consciousness issue there. Amen? Some of you gentlemen tried it with your wives. You found out that is not a good look. Moving right along. Do you know that wives don't believe that you can hear unless you're looking directly at them? It is impossible to watch a ball game and listen at the same time. Ladies, we're multitaskers like that. I've known some ladies to actually quiz their husbands on the fact whether they actually hear what I said. I usually have counseling appointments after that. Amen. Say, I'm going to pray in tongues more than ever. And if you really want to have in any context, and maybe you're just having a time where you're struggling, just go off and pray in the Holy Ghost. Use your car time when you're driving to work or on a trip. Pray in the Holy Ghost profusely, and you'd be amazed what will happen. You'll feel like God suddenly showed up in the car and He's driving. And I've heard people say this, you know, suddenly God's presence came in and I lifted my hand. And I understand what they're saying, but the truth, say the truth. The truth is they became conscious of a God that was riding with them the whole time. All you're doing with tongues is you are basically elevating your awareness. And I can tell you this, you know, you're out there driving an hour or two, and you're going to have an experience with God. You are going to have a powerful time with God. So take advantage of those moments. Find a place where you can pray in the Holy Ghost And don't be ashamed of who you are. Say, I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost.
I am not ashamed.
Not ashamed of his gifts. Now, if you're the devil, you don't want a bunch of people, a bunch of, you know, crazy Christian, you know, radical folk running around, conscious of God's presence all day long. You're going to suppress it. Remember, every word you pray in tongues comes to pass. Every word you say lines up with God's word. Amen. Woo! It always glorifies God. If you're the devil, you can't afford that. So if you can't stop somebody from receiving the Holy Ghost, then stop them from using their prayer language. Teach against it. Preach against it. Try to get them in a place where they're all bottled up, you know, and neglecting the gift that's on the inside of you. I'm talking to some folks tonight. You're not using your prayer language like you're supposed to. And you wonder why you don't have the awareness and consciousness that you used to have. Yeah, you used to pray in the Holy Ghost a whole lot more than you do. Selah. Notice how quiet it's getting. That's a good place to say Shandai or something. See my bow tie, tie my bow tie. Amen. Say the baptism and tongues elevates my awareness and consciousness of God's presence. Amen. What if we can sow ourselves into this church and slowly but surely the majority begin to what? Walk in here with an awareness. Then it'll take five songs and 30 minutes of preaching. And the unlearned walks out and says, boy, didn't God visit us today? No. Hope Harbor just woke up.
All right.
Come on, say it with me. Change, the year of change. Paradigm shift. We understand what we're saying. Whoa, God really showed up today. No, people really woke up today. This is the only time you get to be woke. Yes, amen. We give you permission. With all my heart, be woke.
All right.
To quote Kamala, everybody ought to be woke. Glory to God. And there's always a group of people that I think that are diligent about that, but God's wanting everybody to go to the next level in this. Because truly, I hadn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man, but God is prepared for those that love him. But he is revealing it to us by his Spirit. Raise your hand if you really want to see an elevated consciousness of God in your life. Do these things. You'll seek him, and you'll wake up. Amen. Get into his word, you'll wake up. Praise him and you will wake up. Pray in the Holy Ghost and you will wake up. And number five, it shouldn't be a surprise to you that when you're out there sharing your faith with people, when you're doing it with netcasters and you're doing it with yourself, you're ministering to other people, there are bold promises from Jesus Christ that he goes with you. It's what I call the 2020, Matthew 28:20 and Mark 16:20. Both promise God's presence in going out. And there is something that Michael, I know you understand doing this. There is a consciousness of God when you're reaching people, when you're soul winning, that's elevated. And it's something that freaks people out. But if you'll just realize this, that both you are going to have an elevated consciousness and awareness, but so are the people that are around you that you're ministering to. It's supernatural. Amen. He boldly says that when you go out there and you preach, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, and he works with you, performing signs and wonders, confirming the word with signs following, he is present. As a soul winner, if you've been through the class, don't lose what you gained, because you've been given a gift. You have found an additional way to raise your consciousness of God's presence. And you can do it anytime you want to. I have never been in a case where I've been witnessing to somebody, sharing with somebody, what seemed even casually, where there was not a greater awareness of God's presence and power and goodness. And did he not say that he would give you what to say at that time?
Yes,
amen. Does he not bring all things to your remembrance?
Yes,
what's going on is the Spirit of God is quickening you. So by all means, if you haven't taken the class yet, take it again. It'll be coming around. Sign up very, very shortly on this. But take it. So that you can become, you know, even more proficient in that. But realize it is a very powerful way to elevate your consciousness of God's presence in your life. Amen? So say it with me. God's not showing up. God's people are waking up. Come on, shout out, wakey, wakey. That's the issue. But see, most of us as believers, we want to say, well, it's out there somewhere. That's the issue. We look in the mirror and say, the more you wake up, the more of his presence, power, and goodness you're going to enjoy. Amen. Can you receive that tonight?
Yes.
Give him a hand clap and thank him for it.